We have live music in here a lot, at least once, twice a week, and it's always a blast for me to have musicians in here just to talk music and hear some really cool live stuff. Well, the band that we have in this morning is a band that we had on back in February. It's been almost a year, and they kicked ass, and we're really glad that they're back. It's Basil and Supernaturals. They're going to be performing a big New Year's Eve show with J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound at the Emporium, man. All right. In Wicker Park at 1366 North Milwaukee. 21 and over show begins at 8. It's $30. Early bird tickets. You get a midnight champagne toast as well. And we want to welcome 27 people into the studio. let's welcome all the guys in the band. I'm just going to have you guys like the last time. We even have more than the last time.
Oh yeah, we just.
I think you only had maybe four people with you the last time, right?
I think so. Yeah.
You guys, who was with you? I mean, you guys were here. Some of you guys were here before.
It was just us.
Yeah, right here. So the horn. You guys didn't have the horn section with you, did you?
No, not last time.
Wow. Okay. Hi. Welcome back, guys. All right. Let's go around the room. Basil, we'll start with you, buddy.
I'm Basil, the lead vocalist.
Okay.
I'm Brandon, lead guitarist.
Okay.
Mason Cormy, bass.
Got it.
Alex Blomars, tenor saxophone.
Okay.
Caleb Mitchell, I play trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Carl Kennedy, I play the keyboard.
Okay.
Stevenson Valentor drums.
Okay. And Kyle is the missing link.
Yep.
What happened to Kyle, man?
Well, we got two missing links. We got Tom is in Maryland, and Kyle gigged late. So
okay.
We're just going with two of the four.
All right. So there's a total of 10 guys in your band, 9 guys in your band?
I thought you said 73.
There's 73 people in the band. Yes. Yes.
Live usually up to a 9 or 10 piece.
Wow. That's very, very cool. You have a very interesting background, Basil, and we talked about it the last time you were here. The last time you were here, it was a significantly different vibe in this country than there is now.
Great.
Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your background, and I don't want to get all heavy and everything, about it, but tell everybody your background.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm first generation Syrian American.
Mm-hmm.
So I was born and raised in the States, but my parents were both raised in Syria.
And you still have family there?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of my aunts, uncles, cousins are still in Syria.
Mm.
Mostly around Aleppo, Syria, which is one of the more contested cities. So roughly half my family has been able to leave the country. But a lot of them are either young and still in school and kind of don't have an option, or are, kind of older and own their property and are set in their ways. So they're kind of sticking it out.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're not voting for Trump.
Oh, yeah, of course I am.
Are you? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway. So it's fascinating. Now, you actually, you guys have just done a video for a song called Lost, which is a very personal. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the work that you do, a lot of the songs that you do are personal, and they're drawn upon your experiences and all that stuff. But this one particularly, tell people a little bit about Lost, and they can see the video online, correct?
Yeah, yeah, on basilmusic.com. Mm-hmm. It's actually on the homepage.
And it's Bassel.
Like bass L.
Like bass the fish. L. Like what if when a fish wants to take the train downtown. it's the bass L. So tell us about Lost real quick before we break.
Sure. Lost is it's a song that's gonna be on our new record. It touches on a really personal story. It's about a personal loss in my family. It's actually little tragic. I know we're not trying to get too heavy.
No,
but,
it's okay, man.
It involves the murder of a cousin of mine. She was a young woman, a PhD student in microbiology, just caught in the crossfire, innocent girl
in Syria.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's what the song is about.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we're gonna get into more of that. And we're going to get into some uplifting stuff as well.
We're
going to introduce everybody in the band and get to know everybody in the band. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to hear some music. Cool. You guys excited about playing on New Year's Eve?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you guys played on New Year's Eve before?
Last mm-hmm. year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You played last year as well?
Shuba's last year, right?
Yep. Shuba's last year.
Yep.
That's always, the thing about New Year's, about Shuba's, think about Shuba's because I've played there so many times. No, the thing about New Year's Eve is that when I was a bartender, I never go out on New Year's Eve. Ever. If I'm not working, I never go out. Like when I've hosted a lot of New Year's Eve shows here on GN over the years,
mm-hmm.
and I used to bartend, so I would work. But if I'm not working, I'm usually like, I usually kind of hide in a closet on New Year's Eve and cry. That's usually. And now I'm sober, so now there's really no reason for me to do anything on New Year's Eve. So, but you guys will get a nice big crowd, and I want to talk about the Emporium and J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound and all the other stuff that you guys are doing. And I can't wait to hear you guys live, because you know the last time you guys were here, I was just beside myself. You guys really, I mean, you really impressed the hell out of me, and I thought you guys were great. So I can't wait to hear you guys live. Everybody hang out. We're going to talk more with the band Basil and the Supernaturals, all coming up right here on GM. But we have to take a break, and then the news is coming up right after this on 720 WGN.
She's lost. She's part of the world today. Break off a piece of my soul and bury it underneath the ground.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. That music that you hear is from the band Basil and the Supernaturals. They are playing on New Year's Eve with J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound. And that's at the Emporium in Wicker Park, 1366 North Milwaukee. And we have all the band members here. So before we get back into the conversation, we met Basil, who is the lead vocalist.
Hey, hey.
And let's start talking to these guys. So we got Brandon here.
Yes.
How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. How long you been with the band?
It's been two years now, right, Basil?
It's about
2 years, yeah.
Basil, how long has the band been together? I'm assuming in different forms it's been together.
Yeah. The Basil and the Supernaturals first became an entity about 5.5 years ago, whereas it was just a songwriter as Basil before that. So I moved to Chicago 5.5 years ago, and then the Supernaturals became a title.
Mm, okay. And who were some of the first guys in the band?
Stevenson is the first of this group.
Stevenson, you were the first one?
Yeah, I was subbing... for a bit while.
I lied, actually. Caleb. Caleb was here, I think, even before.
Caleb? He forgot you, man.
Wait, no.
Maybe? Around the same time,
I don't know.
Maybe?
Stevenson and I actually go really far back.
Oh, I don't even know.
Like, surprisingly far back.
Okay.
So,
like, past lives, we were squirrels.
Yes.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's
supernatural squirrels.
That's amazing. That's unbelievable. Supernatural squirrels, everybody.
That was the first name.
Is that the new
band,
is that the new concept album you guys are working on? The supernatural squirrels. All right, but that's cool. Now, the last time you guys were here, we talked about your backgrounds and stuff, and I want to do that again, just because it's been a while since you guys have been here. So, how'd you get into music, Basil? Now, you said you're originally from Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah. What part of Ohio?
I grew up between Akron and Cleveland.
Okay.
So in Kent, Ohio, Northeast Ohio.
Okay. All right.
So definitely a Buckeye at the core.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up playing violin and got into drums. I didn't really get into songwriting until I was kind of in my late teens.
Now, when when did your parents come to the United States?
They came to the United States in like the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm. And were you exposed to a lot of Syrian music when you were growing up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of, whether it's traditional folklore type music, like Umm al Kulthum is one, but then a lot of just like cheesy Arab pop artists, like Amr Diab and Nancy Ashram, like some.
Now,
of
are these like big
cheesy
sellers in the Arab nations, the people that you just mentioned?
Superstar. Yeah. Like, what, it's not so much even like Syrian music. It's like the big like Egyptian stars or Lebanese, like everybody. Where we go in the Middle East, it's like if you say Michael Jackson, it's the same as with like Amr Diab. Everyone's going, oh, yeah, that guy.
Okay. All right. Now, did you like that kind of stuff when you were growing up?
I wasn't into the cheesy pop stuff. I definitely like the more traditional like folklore type music. And I'm finding that the more Middle Eastern or African music that I listen to, the older and older I'm getting and being like, whoa.
It's funny how that happens. It's like, what the hell are my parents listening to? And then you hit about 30 and you're like, man, this stuff's not bad. What am I talking about here? Kiss sucks. So that did growing up with that kind of music, or has it crept into the music that you write and that you perform with these guys?
Definitely. I think especially going into this new record and then beyond that, some of the music we've been writing since this record that we haven't even released is digging into that territory.
Are there American artists that have significantly and used Middle Eastern sounding music well? Who are some of the American artists that you know of that have used it well? I mean, the first person that pops into my mind is the Peter Gabriel, who did the soundtrack to The Last Temptation of Christ, which is called Passion. Mm. And that is an unbelievable album, and it's clearly influenced big time by Middle Eastern sound and music, and he uses a lot of Middle Eastern musicians on it as well. But that's like the first album. That's one of my favorite albums, one of my favorite soundtracks of all time is Passion by Peter Gabriel. Are there other American musicians that have used that kind of stuff, in your opinion?
Not a lot that I've heard of. I've heard more, African or Middle Eastern groups that have collaborated with American artists and create this interesting hybrid of a sound. But I guess not a ton come to mind off the bat.
Paul Simon worked with a lot of African music. Mm. Like with Graceland and Rhythm of the Saints and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, he brought that kind of stuff, to America. Well, it's interesting to have that kind of background. You said you started playing violin. Mm-hmm. Was that by choice, or was that like you're playing violin?
It was more the latter. As I was getting into some type of instrument, I was definitely interested in playing a stringed instrument. Mm-hmm. It started out sort of out of pressure, and then I learned to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I was just thirsty to create. So,
Songwriting, when did that pop into your head? When did you decide you wanted to do that?
I'd say around 13, 14 years old, started picking up a guitar, playing through songs that were interesting to me, and then I just started getting crazy and tearing certain strings off my guitar and retuning everything and just playing a lot.
You're nuts, man.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk to Brandon. Brandon, when did you start playing music?
I started piano when I was 7, and then I just kind of, was taking piano lessons, sort of, doing the thing. And then when I was 10, I started playing percussion. And then with money that I got for my 12th birthday, I went and bought a guitar.
Wow.
So I've been playing guitar since I was 12.
Since you were 12.
Yeah, so that's right. Kind of
the piano lessons. Now, again, were those like thrust upon you?
It was probably half and half. I think my mom definitely wanted me to like go into it. But once I, did it, I loved it. And I just kind of kept up with it. So.
All right, cool. Yeah. And then you started playing guitar at 12.
Yes.
All right, cool. And let's go to Mason. Mason, what about you? When did you start playing music?
So I started playing music probably around like age 6. And it was first with piano. And then I did probably about 2 weeks of violin. Didn't like it. And then went to classical guitar and broke my guitar. So then in turn started playing trombone. So it was metal.
Wow, that's a jump.
So started playing a metal instrument and then went from trombone to bass.
Okay.
Probably like in 8th grade, I think it was, when I was 13.
Did you always want to play music, like when you were a little kid? Were you interested in it?
Yes and no. With piano, I liked it sometimes, and it ended. When I stopped playing, I really didn't like it. And then I took a break from music, and then when I came back to trombone, I really enjoyed it, and then went to bass. Just worked.
All right. And let's go to Alex. Alex, you play the sax.
I do.
Okay. Did you always want to play that kind of instrument? Or?
Yeah, saxophone was definitely where I started. I actually nearly started on clarinet because a lot of middle school programs have saxophone players start on a year of clarinet. And actually that nearly thrust me over to the brass side of things. I was going to play baritone or trombone if that was the case. I was a huge fan of the clarinet, which I regret now. I would like to have had that early experience on clarinet. I do a bit of clarinet playing now. I started on saxophone just before 5th grade and been playing that ever since.
All right. Very cool. Okay. And let's see. Caleb?
Yeah.
The forgotten Caleb?
I don't feel forgotten.
Okay. You play trumpet.
Yep.
And was that the instrument that you started with?
Yeah.
It was.
Always been trumpet.
Yeah. And how did that start for you?
I did the 5th grade kind of public school band thing. I think I wanted to play saxophone, but I used trumpet was cheaper or, some sort of something like that. I knew I wanted to play music and play a brass instrument and just kind of fell into trumpet and kept playing and haven't stopped. And here we are.
All right.
Great.
All right, cool. And then, Carl, what about you, man?
I started piano, I think I was 7. And then I also ended up playing trumpet in kind of in middle school, high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what got me into jazz, improvisation, and that sort of stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And Stevenson, what about you, man?
I started with piano when I was 7 or so, and then drums happened around age 10, mm-hmm. part of the fifth grade band program mm-hmm. as well.
Were your parents thrilled that you switched from piano to drums?
Absolutely.
Of course they were. Of course they were. The noisiest instrument that you can get. So it's interesting. Well, let's quickly again, we know that Basil's from Ohio. Let's go around the room. Brandon, where are you from originally? You're from Chicago?
I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
You're actually from Memphis?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's a great music town.
Yeah, music, barbecue.
Barbecue.
I miss the barbecue.
Absolutely. How about you, Mason? Where are you from?
I'm from the Metro Detroit area.
Ah, okay. Yeah. You're a Red Wings fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're done talking. okay, and Alex?
Yeah, I'm from Chicago, the southwest suburbs.
Southwest suburbs. Yeah. All right, cool. Where? Whereabouts?
Frankfort.
Frankfort, sure, mm-hmm. of course. And Caleb, where are you from?
I'm from Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, wow. Okay. And?
From Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Kenosha.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I used to sneak up there to drink. When I was, you could say 18, man. 18, we used to go to the Brat Stop, man. The Brat Stop was the place.
Yep.
And Stevenson, what about you, man?
Also Southwest Burbs and Willowbrook.
Willowbrook. All right, cool. Now, so you, Basil, you knew these guys. You knew him the longest, Stevenson the longest.
Yeah, we met because he was in the Loyola community. When I first moved to Chicago, it was off of the, I had just finished my second songwriter album. So I toured for a month, moved to Chicago, and had a bunch of gigs already lined up. So it was kind of moving fast, needed a lot of musicians in place to fill gigs that were already in place. So naturally, when I first came in, a lot of the musicians I was playing with were in a lot of different projects and were quick to pick up on music. And so, but they were kind of meant to be placeholder musicians. Mm. So as I started reaching out for musicians to do more creative work, to do more collaboration, Stevenson and I eventually became connected probably four or five years ago. I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah. What's the music scene like in Ohio? Where are you from?
It's really interesting. I think especially like Northeast Ohio is particularly interesting because you have so many university towns.
Yeah.
Cleveland is, you know, right between Chicago and New York. So you have a lot of major acts that are consistently coming through that area. So we used to go up to Cleveland or Akron, I mean, at least once a week to go see shows. And we saw a lot of incredible artists. I had the fortune to have growing up in a really interesting college town. Kent State University is the second biggest school in Ohio.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of always grew up a little older than where you were at.
Yeah. So that's Chrissy Hynde territory, man.
Yeah.
You should be very proud to be from there.
Yeah.
Chrissy Hynde, coolest chick in the history of rock, as far as I'm concerned. That's
Black,
just me.
Black Squirrel Nation. One of the only cities with black squirrels.
Yeah. It's true, man. That's weird. Right. I remember hearing about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very. I saw a black squirrel in Chicago.
I've seen. Hmm.
I've seen him.
Yeah, I have. I remember, and I remember freaking out because I was like, "What is that?" I thought it was like a rat with a puffy tail or something, which they kind of are.
They kind of are.
Yeah. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland,
right?
Mm-hmm. I've been there. It's been a really long time since I've been there. 20 years since I've been there, maybe. I loved it, though. I thought it was really great. I got to say, I am, as being a lifelong Chicagoan, I am incredibly thrilled with the inductees for this year for the Hall of Fame. Because, first of all, Cheap Damn Trick is being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it's about time. Chicago is being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. Deep Purple, they're not from Chicago. They're British, but they're being inducted. NWA. They had a big year. Holy cow, man. You know, with the movie and everything. Suddenly people are like, oh, NWA.
Yeah, I think they got us in for next year, right?
Yeah, you guys are going to be in, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're a hometown boy, man. They should put you in. All right, well, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a quick break, and you guys can get your instruments all ready and get ready to go. There's 73 guys in the room, and we're going to hear a song. Basil and the Supernaturals will be performing on New Year's Eve with J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound at the Emporium. We'll talk more about that. And we have links to everything up on our Facebook page, information, tickets, all that cool stuff. All you got to do is go to facebook.com/NickDShow. You guys, so we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and you guys will play, all right?
Awesome.
All right, cool. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. That's me. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower on a Tuesday. And we are very happy to have live in studio the band Basil and the Supernaturals. We've got Basil, Brandon, Mason, Stevenson, Carl, Caleb, and Alex live in studio. And they're playing New Year's Eve with J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound at the Emporium in Wicker Park. And we're going to hear some songs here. And the first song that we're going to hear live right here in studio, Basil, why don't you go ahead and tell us what this song is and all that cool stuff.
For sure. This is called Blind Man Climbing, which is off of our last record. You can definitely hear it on basilmusic.com or on Spotify.
BasilMusic.com or on Spotify, and we have a link on our Facebook page for BasilMusic.com. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Whenever you guys are ready, hit it.
Up with you to talk, just to meet someone new. I'm a blind man climbing, nowhere else to go. Yeah, it don't mean I believe it, it don't mean I don't see it. Well, I care about us, and I want the world to see. I've got to say that I've changed since you knew me. Yeah, I'm not wild, I'm just embracing my youth. Oh, I know that in time we'll all want to raise a family. Ooh, I'd make that sacrifice if I knew that you choose me. Cause I want to make this thing work. It's a bed that I'm wrapped up with you. Just to talk, just to meet someone new. I'm a blind man climbing, nowhere else to go. Yeah, don't mean I believe it, don't mean I don't see it. When I care about us and I want the world to see, I'm on my way back to New York, girl, yeah. Oh, the feelings remain, but I look the other way. Oh, my pride has subsided without you. Undivided attention belongs to you. Oh, only you. Cause I wanna make this thing work. It's a bed that I'm wrapped up with you. Just to talk, just to meet someone new. Blind man climbing, nowhere else to go. Yeah, don't mean I believe it, don't mean I don't see it. And I want the world to
what's up with you? Just talks to meet someone new. I'm climbing, climbing, nowhere else, nowhere else to go. Don't mean I believe it, don't mean I don't see it. I care about us, and I want the world to see. It's so bad that I'm wrapped up with you. Just talks to meet somebody new. I'm climbing, climbing, nowhere else to go. And I want the world, yes, I want the world to see.
That was great, you guys. That was great. Basil and the Supernaturals, you guys are, man, you guys are great. Can you come in like every week?
Sure.
Yeah, can you come in every week? Man, I love you guys, man. I loved you the last time you were here, and I loved you this time, too. We got more to hear from these guys. We're going to hear more music from them. Tell me real quickly, Basil, about the Emporium. Tell everybody about the Emporium, because it's a very cool place.
Right, right. Emporium's an arcade bar, which is really, really neat. That's exactly what it sounds like. You go in, there's a lot of arcades, there's beer, and there's soul music. So it's going to be stellar. Last time I was there, I think I played NFL Blitz 99.
You know,
Simpsons.
It's
old school ones.
It's got all the old school. The place is great. And they got like a bunch of great beer on tap.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really cool. And it's named after the place in Dazed and Confused. It's named after where they hang out in Dazed and Confused, where they shoot pool and play pinball and stuff. That's where they got the name The Emporium from.
Cool.
So, which is, you know, which is good because... You've got
these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
All right, so I kind of like that movie a little bit. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We got the news coming up. We'll hear another song from Basil and the Supernaturals. You guys can just chill and relax. We're going to take a little break with the news, and we'll come back and we'll talk more. You guys got it? Sounded great, you guys. It was outstanding. More from Basil and the Supernaturals coming up. We're going to take a break here for the news right here on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio. 7th floor of the Trib Tower here until 5 a.m. Steve Cochran is back today, and we'll be joining you through the week through Christmas Eve morning. And I am the same. I'm here through Christmas Eve morning, and then I'm off next week, and I'll be back on January 4th for our first show of 2016. And on January 4th, Monday, January 4th, Colin and Eric will be here live in studio, and we're going to do our annual best and worst movies list. We will be talking about that on January 4th. But right now, live in studio, Basil and the Supernaturals are here. We've got Basil, Brandon, Mason, Stevenson, Carl, Caleb, and Alex. Carl, who is becoming a regular visitor to the show. We were just talking a little bit. You were here with Spocket.
Yeah.
Was it how long? 2 weeks ago? Last week? A couple of weeks?
Yeah, we can have something like that.
We can have something like that. How many bands are you in, man?
I not as many as these guys.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about how you guys there was a big scene for the kind of fusion jazz stuff that
fusion,
you guys play.
Jazz, fusion, funk, soul, like a lot of those bands work together and swap personnel and stuff. Yeah.
So if we have a band in here when I get back in the beginning of January, you're probably going to be in it.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. cool. So tell me about Basil. We talked about this when you guys were here back in February, and talk about the writing process for you and songwriting process for you, and then bringing it to the band and bringing it to the guys, and how you guys put the songs together. How does that work?
Yeah, every song seems to have its own story. There are some songs that, you know, were more songwriter based than I brought to the group, and then we just sort of like layered in different voices into those tunes. And there's some songs that were really collaborative. And then, I mean, as a perfect example, like even outside of these songs, like we had a jam session on Saturday, sort of just like an open call, come over, let's you know, if we're feeling it, we'll write. If we're not, we'll play Wii, you know, order some pizza, hang out. And then before you know it, I mean, we wrote almost three songs on Saturday. So it's like,
you have a live EP that you are releasing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Where was that recorded and all that good stuff?
So we have a project called Chicago Loft Sessions. We've done two events so far, and we have a third one coming up in February. It's about, you know, like stimulating different loft spaces around Chicago, mm-hmm. and artists supporting artists. So really, it's really just the idea of intimate performances in front of a live audience and videotaping that. So we videotaped both Loft Sessions events. We released five videos from the first one. We just released the first video from our second event. We're about to release the second one and announce the date for the third event. So from our second event, we're going to release three of the songs that we did as part of a three-track USB release that'll come with the videos and it'll come with the tracks. So just like a little teaser, a sampler, because we do have a new album in the oven right now that we are excited to release. And we'll be going to South by Southwest in March and giving out this USB teaser, kind of saying, hey, check it out. We got some new music in the oven.
The new CD that you're talking about, are you currently like mixing it? Is it in the final stages?
Yeah, right now it's being mixed, and it'll be mastered. So should be, you know, I mean, going into the spring, it'll be ready. But we're taking some time with it. And
where'd you record it?
We recorded it most of it. So it was between two different studios, Hinge and Soundbank. Hinge Studios actually is now called Rosebud Studios. It's down in Pilsen. Red Ronda, 18th and Halstead. Mm-hmm. An incredible, incredible space that's had a lot of historical, like whether it's gospel, funk, hip hop. I know Kanye used to kind of live up there in his early days, or Lupe Fiasco. The OJs did some work in that studio.
So whoa.
It's a really, really cool
space. Well, now
cool,
you're talking,
cool
man. And you had me at OJs.
Yeah. A lot of our overdubs we did up at Soundbank, which is in Northfield.
Mm. I asked you this the last time you were here, and I want to ask everybody this. I'm going to go around the room with this. I know it's, you know, we talked about this before, and I know, Carl, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we'll probably talk about it next week when you're here. but the difference between, you know, performing live and recording, it's two entirely different albums. What do you like about both of them, and do you prefer one over the other? We'll start with you, and I want to go around the room. Go ahead, Basil.
Our live set is, there's an infectious energy behind it. I think when you get the right balance of sounds on stage and we can hear each other and you get the crowd to really engage with it, it's just on a new level. You just really feed off that energy. Almost so much that, you know, maybe you even find yourself like getting excited and a little sloppier because mm-hmm. you're just like feeding off that so hard and you just want to keep that energy rolling. Whereas with studio recording, I mean, it's just very... you're really locked in. You know, sometimes you really get in your head a bit, but you have this room to just try out a lot of different sounds. I mean, the studios we recorded at, like, there's so many incredible instruments and amps and sounds that we could experiment with. We just hold up for two straight days for the rhythm and then a full day for the horns. You start to feel like it's your home. Actually, no, we did three straight days of rhythm. So it was like we lived there. Mm. Like we like left art, some of our things there. And we just like go hang out on the couch and watch TV for a little bit and eat some, you know, eat something and go right back into it. So it starts to feel like your home. It just feels really cozy.
Okay. Brandon, what about you? Do you like the recording process?
I definitely like the recording. I definitely prefer playing live. Mm. But the cool thing about recording is, you know, as you kind of hear everything back, I find that start to change my parts a little bit during the recording session, and then that affects the way that I perform it live because I get to hear it back and say, oh, I want to change this, I like this idea, or let's try this right here. Like Mason and one of the songs in the studio, he started like kind of messing around this little like riff, and we're like, whoa, Mason, what was that? Play that again. So then we spent like 20 minutes just working on this gnarly little riff, mm-hmm. and then we all tracked it on that song. We just kind of wrote it in the studio there. So that's kind of the magic for the studio.
What about you, Mason? Do you like it? Do you like studio stuff?
Well, I like both for different reasons. I mean, live, you can kind of, like, I'm not sure if let loose is the right term, but you can just kind of be yourself more and just do you, which is good, and work, you know, as an ensemble sound in a live setting. While recording is really cool because you have that choice of perfection.
Right.
And you can really go in and like, oh man, well, is my bass out of tune on that one note? Well, I can go and, you know, tune my bass up to make sure that's good and actually hit that right. Or like, did we miss this unison lick? Let's make sure that's all tight, you know, like, so.
Right,
exactly. You know, just little things. So it's like, you can really focus on the little things and make that pop, which is what makes an album, like, a really cohesive sound.
Cool. All right. Alex?
Yeah, piggybacking off what's been said, I mean, you have the ability to fine-tune some of the things you've been doing, maybe work that one lick for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but on the same token, you have that ability to do that, and then you're spending 30 minutes on one lick, if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
So, and as a horn player, too, I was just actually having this conversation with another musician friend of mine recently, you know, the microphone doesn't lie, so you're playing something that you've been working on for a while, so you're really trying to make sure it's right, but it's a nice way to have something that kind of measures your, you know, what you've been working on over a given process, whether it's something like this or if it's like a small like jazz group or a little chamber group or something like that. It's nice to be able to hear what it sounds like in like a fine tooth, like combing, editing environment.
Yeah. Too. Caleb, what about you? You like it?
Yeah, same sort of thing. It's nice to get the opportunity to be so critical. And I mean, it's awful and great to hear all the things that you've been doing for a while, maybe live, that you're like, oh, no, we should, you know, that's a great opportunity to dial everything in. And then it's nice to go live, especially from there, and just kind of let loose again, ride that energy and have a good time.
Mm.
And maybe go back and forth and things get better and better and that sort of thing.
What are you, Carl?
One of the challenges for recording for me is kind of what Basil was alluding to with getting out of your own head, especially because you know that it's going to be laid down. Live, that moment's gone the second you play it. So if there's an error, if there's a mistake, if there's something, if there's, especially like an improvised part, an improvised solo, if it doesn't go exactly how you want it, well then it's fine. The energy of, you know, the live energy kind of fills it up. But recording, it's harder to kind of let loose and just think freely and listen freely, and not be like, oh, I want to play this, or I want to make sure I play that lick at that certain time and stuff like that. So
All right, Stevenson, what about you, man?
Yeah, definitely everything everyone said. I really like how the live parts will get composed kind of from the recording sessions as well.
Mm.
Just like, you know, just boiling down simple things as well as accidents that happen that maybe you craft down into, new parts and things.
Cool. So it's there's two different ways to discover is what I'm getting from you guys. You can discover in the studio, you know, by doing what you do in a studio, but you also discover, obviously, by improvising live. That's another way you can just go down an entirely new avenue, which is cool.
I think we found a good blend of those two things with this, especially on this record, too, just because we actually tracked the rhythm. We tracked it live in the studio.
Yeah.
So you still you get the best of both worlds. So, like, you know, even if there's, like, a small slip here and there, like, it feels more raw and organic, but we're all playing at the same time and locked in with each other. And then we did all the rhythm together, and then we did the horns.
That's
together.
What we were talking about the last time you were here, about recording, you know, not just going track by track by track, but actually having everybody play at once.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which makes a big difference, I think. Right. All right, cool. Now, the last time you guys were here, I have a couple of questions that I always ask, and I've already, you know, we asked you this a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to hear it from you guys again. I always ask, first question, I'm going to go all the way around, first album you ever bought?
Space Jam.
Soundtrack. Oh, that's right. It was Space Band. I remember that from the last time you were here. Okay, Space Jam. All right, cool. Brandon?
Smash Mouth Astro Lounge.
Oh, that was mine. That was the one, right?
Yeah.
That was my last
one. That was yours, man. Yeah. You had a couple of Smash Mouth guys in here this morning. All right. Okay, and next?
Mine was a used copy of a Best of Parliament Funkadelic.
You win so far. You're in the lead. Mason's in the lead so far. Okay. Alex is really contemplating this, man. I can see the look on your face. It's like, oh, man, what was it? Okay.
It's hard to think back, but the earliest I can remember buying was a Best of Miles Davis John Coltrane album.
Right.
My dad ushered me into, hey, you should check this out.
All right. You guys are now dueling over who gets the best one so far. Okay, next.
I don't know how it really came into my possession, but the earliest thing I remember is the Third Eye Blind self-titled.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Awesome.
You're gonna hear that song 18,000 times a day. Okay, now yours is Smash Mouth.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. The what was it? The bowling shirt rock.
Yes, bowling shirt.
Is that it?
That's right. I've been using that term since you said that. Bowling shirt rock is we've been using that one pretty regularly. That's pretty
Shout
cool.
Shout out to Luke Engel.
Yeah. On that one. Bowling shirt rock. Yeah. Okay, Stevenson.
I think it was Weezer's Green Album.
Yeah. You got the glasses.
To be a master.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Pokemon to be a master.
I am in a room with young people today. All right. First concert, Basil.
First concert? It was before I can remember. I think it was Gypsy Kings. My family snuck into it. My entire family and I couldn't even walk. So from what I understand, they passed me over the fence.
I remember you telling that story last time you were here. You snuck into a Gypsy King show. Okay, next.
Does Rugrats on Ice count when I was 3 years old?
There you go. Rugrats on Ice, everybody. All right, he goes from Smash Mouth to Rugrats on Ice. Next.
Yeah, I can't recall my first concert. My mom is an opera singer, so I was always going to shows.
Okay.
So, but first memorable concert would be Chaka Khan.
Ooh, man! You are the man!
Chaka.
All right, next.
I think I remember seeing Mark Colby, local saxophonist here in Chicago, when I was in middle school. That was the first one I remember. Mm-hmm. I probably saw some orchestras as a kid, too, but I don't really remember any of those.
Caleb?
Yeah, my mom does a lot of music theater, so I know I have no idea.
Tons of Damn Yankees!
Well, probably not that, but maybe.
Okay.
Never know.
Carl, was it Bowling Shirt Rock?
It wasn't. I saw Little Richard.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? And Navy Pier.
Navy Pier. Little Richard at Navy Pier. That's pretty good, man. And then Stevenson.
I remember it was Q101's Jamboree in Tinley Park or something.
Do you remember any of the artists? I'm assuming the Cranberries were probably there. Who?
Hoobastank.
Hoobastank!
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Hoobastank. All right, cool. All right. Well, look, we're going to break here, all right? And when we come back, you guys are going to play another song, okay? Cool. By the way, Basil and the Supernatural is playing New Year's Eve with J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound at the Emporium in Wicker Park. It's $30 to get in. You can get early bird tickets, and you get a midnight champagne toast as well. Basilmusic.com is the website. That's it's Bass, the fish, taking the L. So it's Bass L. but we have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, guys, hang on for a second. When we come back, we'll play some more music live. Yeah. These guys are great, man. Basil and the Supernaturals, that's what you're hearing. You can see them perform live at New Year's Eve with J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound at the Emporium in Wicker Park. That's 1366 North Milwaukee Avenue. It's a 21 and over show on New Year's Eve, 8 p.m. It all starts, $30, early bird ticks. You get yourself some midnight champagne toast. Basil, Brandon, Mason, Stevenson, Carl, Caleb, and Alex are all here, and they're going to perform another song live. What have we got? What are we going to hear here?
This song's called Illusion. It's going to be in our new record. We also have this one up on YouTube of a live performance at Lincoln Hall.
Okay.
And this is about the love of my life.
Oh. Okay, here we go. Basil and the Supernaturals, everybody.
Like walking through fire, coming up calm, collected and cool, yeah, without your empty baby, the howling wolf, your flesh and your bones keep me begging for more, more, with not an illusion, 'cause I'm in for the real thing. It's not an illusion, girl, I'm creating a life with you. From day, I switch what's on my mind again. Right when the world starts to bend and break, will I breathe out what's not an illusion? 'Cause I'm in for the real thing. It's not an illusion, girl. I'm creating a life with you.
Really, really great stuff. Thank you guys so much for coming down, man. I really appreciate it. You guys are great. Really outstanding stuff. Basil, congratulations on really just great music all the way around, man. Thanks for coming down, and have a great New Year's Eve and a great 2016 and a good Christmas if that's what you're going to celebrate.
Thanks so much for having us, Nick.
Basil and the Supernaturals, these guys are terrific. We have to go to the newsroom right now. We got the news, and then we come back, and we'll talk a little bit more here, and we'll let these guys strike their music, their instruments and stuff as we're going to the Basil, thanks a lot, man. Really great to have you in.